Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. This is Monday, December 11th, 2023, and please say a prayer for our country and say a prayer for the world. And then remember, I love my country. It's my government I am afraid of. Truly, no more truer words could be spoken these days. But with that being said, we will start with the pledge, and please join me if you'd like. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Something to think about as we round up the year. And tonight, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about 2023. And it's kind of an open mic forum. And let's see if we have anybody out there in the chat yet. Probably a little bit early out there. Okay. We're going to, as I say, it's kind of just pretty much an open forum, open mic night. Talk about the different things that have happened this past year, the good, bad, and the ugly. And I'm afraid there's probably been more good, bad, ugly, or I should say bad and ugly than there has been good, but there has been some good out there too. And so if there's anything specific you want to talk about, just call in 347-857-4364. Press 1 to speak on the air. And next week we'll talk a little bit more about Christmas, One Nation Under God. What are we doing to ourselves? How we are destroying our country from within. We'll talk a little bit about that, but then we're going to talk mostly about the meaning of Christmas and what it means to be a Christian nation, what it used to mean versus what it has become. And then, let's see, no show on Christmas Day, because Christmas does fall on a Monday this year. And then in all likelihood, no show on New Year's Day either, because I think other people are going to be partying and doing other things. So we'll probably skip the show on January 1st as well. I do want to mention January 8th. You're going to want to mark down that date. The show for the 8th. We're going to take probably the deepest dive we've done on American Statesman for the Constitution and elections, because there's definitely confusion out there what the Constitution says versus how things are interpreted and what goes on at the state level. We'll use Florida as the guinea pig on that one, and how messed up our elections are. And do we really have the representation of our choice? So anyway, we're going to have a constitutionalist expert come on and talk to us about it. And it was kind of interesting. I've been talking to David Olin. Olin is his name. And he's got a Constitution website. Let me give you the direct name of it. ConstitutionalGrounds.com. ConstitutionalGrounds.com. And has a lot of information. It has the Constitution and then, you know, information about it. So, and talking to him, you know, as everybody knows, I've been out there going along with, supporting what Nathan brought to the table about the 24th Amendment and closed primaries and how we're being blocked from the primaries and that type of thing. So the issue is, of course, in my own opinion, the private entities do not belong on the ballot. Private entities should go have a convention, do whatever they want to do someplace else, spend all their money, whatever, and then they decide who they want to endorse or promote or support on the actual ballot. The way that David was kind of explaining it was, think about how my tax dollars are being used to fund a private entity, and going back to how unconstitutional that is. And just a lot of interesting discussion while going back into the rest of the Constitution about elections. And what's the true meaning of elector, and how many different electors? As a voter, I'm an elector, and then there's an elector that casts the vote for the president, those kind of things. Well, things we have talked about in the past, but we're going to just take a really deeper dive from a constitutional perspective and see how many things are wrong with our elections today, starting at the top, and then we'll go down into see what Florida has done. What they call election integrity? Integrity, another meaning, another word that seems to be having a new meaning to it, because I'm not seeing when the state of Florida will prevent us from having a manual count, actually ban or outlaw a manual paper ballot and a manual count, where they won't allow us to do that. That's a problem to me. That's not what I call election integrity at all. So with that being said, let's go ahead and move on. If there's anything specific you want to talk about, like I say, just join in, because the whole idea is to talk about everything that's happened in 2023. We're almost at the end of it, only a couple more weeks away. And what did we learn? What are we doing to fix problems? What is it all meaning to the future of our country? Have we totally destroyed our country? Do we have a chance to save it? Et cetera, et cetera. And so I just quickly going down the list, and then we'll get into the discussion. Of course, to me, one of the biggest is the invasion of the United States of America at the hands of government, enemies from within. We have an administration who has totally promoted a massive, massive invasion of this country. And they're bringing more and more enemy military young men coming in, and who knows where they're going. CCP control over us. So what are we going to do about this invasion? Who's going to stop the invasion? And I mean, I ask it time and time again, when do we, the people, because we're supposed to be the sovereign government, remember? We, the people, the consent of the governed, we, the people, are the government, the sovereign government. When do we, the people, defend our homeland? When do we have the right to defend our homeland? Well, we just have to stand here while they take over our country. And that's okay, I guess. It's not okay with me. But I know if I try to go out there by myself, I'm the one who's going to end up in jail, just like the Jan Sixers. When do we have a right to defend our homeland, because we have a very treasonous government and administration, homeland security, which is totally the opposite. It's truly been the enemy from within. They're inciting the overtake of our country, and we're just standing here watching. Something just isn't right here. Somebody explain to me why this is okay, because I don't get it. Then we have the uniparty in full swing. The stuff going on, how many people don't understand what FISA is? Section 72. I mean, totally takes away the Fourth Amendment. So, no, we can go ahead and spy on Americans anytime we feel like. It's everything that this country, we go back to our declaration and see why we formed this new country, this independent government, we the people, the republic, and then you see what they're doing. It's so unconstitutional. They are doing everything opposite of what we're supposed to do. And the sad fact, because of public education, the dumbing down and indoctrination of two generations at least, don't understand any of it. The CCP is wonderful to them. Killing the Jews is wonderful to them. It's all insane. It's just all totally insane. And we got this uniparty Nazi, and I've said it plenty of times, and I'm sure I'll say it a few more before this next election. The Democrats are definitely the smarter party. They're the ones, because they have unrestricted warfare. They're the ones that, ultimately the Democrat Party has never believed in freedom. If you go back and do the history, if you really follow the history, they're the ones that are the evildoers. And they said, well, let's see, how are we going to take over these people that believe in freedom? These people who call themselves Republicans, who think that, Lincoln was a Republican, freed the slaves and all that. How do we take over? So the Democrats just ran as Republicans. They knew the talking points, said everything they wanted to say. Then they go and they get into public office at the local, state, and federal level. And then all of a sudden, it's all nutso. They do everything totally opposite. So the Democrats have taken over. That's truly why it's a uniparty. And again, neither political party should have control over our ballot box. And they do. No political party should. In the state of Florida, I believe there's like 12 or 14 political parties actually established. You'd never know that, but there is. And they play all sorts of games to keep various parties off. The two parties have a stranglehold over it. It's totally about as unconstitutional and un-American, anti-American as it gets, and yet nobody seems to want to push back. This includes the people out there who are the, I'll call them the MAGA fans, the ones that are really promoting Make America Great Again, America First, the Sean Hannity's out there, if you will, but yet they never truly say get rid of the parties. They never truly challenge the political parties as part of the problem, and that they are the ones who have corrupted the elections, and et cetera, et cetera. They never say any of that, but it's true. But they do. So we'll talk about the GOP in review. I mean, Kevin McCarthy, the whole fiasco with him. He is truly another rhino, but technically he made the number for the Republicans, so they had the majority in the House, a thin, slim majority. But now, because he was ousted out of the speakership, he's going to pout and go home, and I'm going to leave at the end of the year, whatever, which is just going to make it more crazy in the House for trying to get anything done. Republicans just don't know what to do. Are they going to impeach either Biden or Mayorkas? Are they ever going to do any of that? Probably not, which how can you not do it? Failing to secure the homeland, all the options they've had on the money and stuff, that they could have done more on this. They seem to have been totally paralyzed or castrated or something. Haven't done anything on it. The spending spree, don't do anything to do that. And then, of course, we've had these useless debates that are, what's the point? I mean, it's just, anyway. So this is just a few little things. But ongoing destruction of the rights, October 7th. COVID pandemic, the garbage that's going on with that. And I would encourage anybody on the COVID thing to go out there and do a search for Steve Kirch. He had an MIT presentation. He's a graduate of MIT, but he went back there to speak about COVID. And I watched it on Rumble, but you can get it on Rumble or other means out there. But listen to it. It's about 2 hours. It's got a lot of information, and it's like it really draws out the problems of why our country is failing. Because of he's literally trying to kill people, lying about killing people, lying about how the vaccines have done stuff. And it was really interesting at one point. He said the thing about autism. Yes, vaccines have caused autism. I mean, it was just, and it really is blatantly obvious if you think about it. You don't just have all these children all of a sudden start developing autism. And nobody really connects the dots because obviously, as an infant, the autism doesn't quite show up the same way as the children grow and they get toddlers. But after that, they've already had 20, 30 vaccines or whatever, how many jabs they get in the very beginning. And then they develop autism. Nobody's ever put those two things together? Really? I know people have. But the big pharma is going to try to block it. Vaccines are killing us. The vaccines are doing much more harm than good. And it's just interesting if you listen to him on this when he was at MIT doing this presentation. Very interesting. So COVID stuff, Robert F. Kennedy running as a running rejected by the Democrats, running as independent. Florida governor, MIA. We have a governor called Ron DeSantis, but most of us don't know where he is most of the time, except out there campaigning someplace for another job. And interesting how many of the DNCers are getting really ticked off at what the Democrats are doing to them and changing parties. So there's all sorts of stuff going on, all stuff. And I mean, I haven't hardly touched on anything yet. But the biggie is knowing that as we enter 2024, Election Day is Judgment Day for the United States of America. If we even survive to have an election, or if the candidates who are out there now survive, who aren't, and who knows, this may be the first election we have where the candidate is in jail, Trump, who knows? It's this next election period is going to say so much about us. It really is. It's a scary time, a just alarming time. I love my country. It's my government I do not trust and I am afraid of, totally, and what we're going to do to save this country. Just scary times. So please say a prayer for America. Say a prayer for the world, and be happy that there are people around the world who are revolting against this stuff, taking back their own countries. Now, wouldn't it be nice if America would take back her country? Americans would take back our country? Wouldn't that be nice? I think it would be wonderful. Anyway, I see Karen out there. Let's see what kind of updates Karen has for us this week and what she thinks was happened in 2023, good, bad, evil, whatever. Hey, Karen, how are you doing?
I am doing great. It is a great day to be alive. And, you know, somebody asked me, how do you get through when you're talking all about this negativity and everything that you're talking about is so awful? And it was very interesting because right around that time, Tucker Carlson said the same thing that I have lived and believed forever, and that is only the people that love you count. The rest of the people don't know you. So, yes, it may be horrible. Yes, it may be an awful thing. Yes, we have to do something about it, but you can't let it destroy you and you can't get emotionally involved. And when you learn that you can't get emotionally involved, everything changes because then you rely on facts and not emotion. And as long as you're relying on facts, you're relying on the truth. And this is a big thing when you are entering into this so-called game of politics. What struck me this past week was the NDAA, and I am really confused about Mike Johnson. I do not understand why he would push an the House NDAA did not have this in it. It went over to the Senate, and all of a sudden Schumer put in things like surveilling Americans, transgender garbage and all of that nonsense, gender-affirming health care. This does not belong in the military. We are destroying our military. And the more that we are pushing these lowered standards, the worse it's going to be, because by the time these kids get into the military, if they even choose to do that, the standards will be so low, they won't be able to read, write, do math, and they won't be physically fit. So what kind of a military is that? It's a very, very sad situation. I was listening to Dr. Carol Swain. She is magnificent. She's a fabulous historian and great constitutionalist. And apparently the president of Harvard, Gay, got to Harvard by copying Carol Swain's information. So personally, I think that they should get rid of Gay and ask Carol Swain to come and run Harvard. They're using her information. Yeah. So she should be the one. Imagine that the standards are so low that the president of Harvard had to get there by cheating. It's sickening when you think about it. So, and I do have a request for everyone. Please call Speaker Johnson's office, 202-225-4000, and tell him under no way, no how should this NDAA be signed, and that we, the people, will not accept a continuing resolution for 5 minutes, let alone the entire year. He wants to have a continuing resolution to last until the election. You've got to be kidding. We just got rid of Kevin McCarthy for the same reason. Are we to get rid of Mike Johnson as well? Maybe we have to do that. And it is horrifying to think that these people are going to go home, they're going to spend Christmas, not pay attention to everybody, and instead of working, they're going to come back and do a continuing resolution of Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi's budget. and Chuckie Schumer's budget instead of paying attention to reality, which is, I guess by that time, we'll be $35 trillion in debt. It seems as though we're racking up $1 trillion every 3 or 4 months. That is a horrible thing. People are not buying our bonds. They're not going after American dollars. They're not interested anymore, and I can't blame them. So you know what will happen? If that happens, then the Federal Reserve is going to print more money, and our dollar, which has already lost 19% since Biden has been in office, will lose even more. So we're going to wind up, I remember seeing pictures of Zimbabwe and people carrying wheelbarrows full of money to go buy to the grocery store to go buy a loaf of bread. We're going to wind up in the same position, and it is not going to be a fun position to be in. Good news, however, I always like to have a little bit of good news. The United Nations COP, their climate, or COP28, the president of COP28 made a statement, and he said, there's no evidence to support the fact that we should get rid of coal. There's no evidence. So any country that does that is condemning themselves to going back to the Middle Ages and living in caves. Now, take that thought from the president of COP28, and what does Kerry want? Reparations for poor countries for the damage that America has done to the climate. Give me a break. Unbelievable. While he's flying around in his jet. I want to know what jet is going to be run on
wind. Solar and wind, yeah. Don't you feel safe being taking off into the skies with some batteries that weigh more than the plane and the passengers, and knowing that you can't recharge them up there, not very easily.
No, and maybe we'll have to go back to propellers. People probably won't even remember prop planes.
Exactly. But yep.
We used to have propellers. Maybe that'll be the wind turbine that'll be running the plane. It is insanity, folks, and we have to stand up. Sally, you're so right. When do we stand up? When do the people stand up? I am having Bill Federer on my radio show this week. He is going to give us the second installment of America's History. And I was talking to him today, and I learned something very interesting. We're copying the same thing that went on thousands of years ago. When the Jews got out of Egypt, they stopped being slaves. Jews were slaves again, just like the Holocaust. Jews were slaves. When they were able to leave Egypt and they went into the desert, and Moses went up the mountain and came back down with the Ten Commandments, that was a covenant with God. And what that said was, the man will be king. And man will have the ability to take care of their own, take care of their families, take care of their, well, they weren't countries at that time, they were tribes. Take care of their tribes. Take care and learn the law. And there was a law which was called the Ten Commandments. And man was God. So if you did something wrong, there were consequences because God would be watching at all times. And this went on for 400 years, which is why the Jews were called the chosen people, because they had a covenant, a direct covenant with God. And towards the end of the 400 years, guess what happened? The Jews, or the Israelites at that time is what they were called, their language was only 28 characters long. And all of the Jews were literate. they all could read and write, and it was very important to them, which is why education is so important today. But that was very important to them because learning the law was something they had to do. And in order to learn the law and be your own king, you had to know how to read and write. Well, as time progressed and the evildoers stopped teaching the children how to read and write and began to replace the covenant with their own. And the first thing they did was take away private property. Why did they do that? Because if you own private property, it gives you the ability to accumulate wealth. And they were not interested in anyone other than themselves of having wealth. And they convinced the Jews that all the other kingdoms in the world had a king. And the Jews were an anomaly because they had no king. Well, the other civilizations in the world also could not read and write. The Chinese alphabet, or filled with characters, there were 3,000 characters that a person had to memorize. So the priests, who only taught themselves how to read and write so that they could keep everything together, began to filter in that man was not the king, that the government was king, and the king took care of everyone. And very slowly, slowly, it chipped away at their foundation. And they demanded a king, and that was the beginning of the end of self-governance. But that's what it was the beginning of the end of a total country having self-governance. King Saul was the king at that time. And this was the friction, because the kings were globalists. Isn't that amazing? And kings would go, and if you didn't do what the king told you to do, if you didn't believe what the king told you to believe, if you didn't eat what the king told you to eat, if you didn't pay homage to the king, then guess what? Off with your head. You were expendable. And that is really how and why the pilgrims left England, because they believed in the old school, which was the self covenant with God, and England was turning into the king owns everything and you will own nothing and be happy. And look at us now. We're in the same spot. We have not learned, have we? And it's really a shame, because school is doing exactly the same thing. When children don't learn the rules, they don't have any rules to follow. They don't know what's right and wrong. They only think, and when they have no consequences for their actions, that makes matters worse. So here we are repeating over and over again the same thing with the same ideology of our ancestors, because nobody bothers to read what our history is all about. And I found that to be, it was a very, very interesting conversation. So I hope that people will listen to me, because I only gave you a very, very short summary of what Bill was able to tell everyone. And I enjoy listening to it so much that I have asked him to come back, and each time he's going to come back and give us another piece of our history. And this is, it's fascinating and sad at the same time, because nobody's learning anything. We're just repeating the past. And that's kind of very sad, I find. So here we are in the same situation.
It is. And anybody who hasn't ever listened to Bill Federer, you got to listen to him go through it. It's so easy to follow and understand, and you say, yeah, that's exactly what's happening. This is where we are. There's truly nothing new happening here. It's the ignorance is not bliss. So, you know, Jefferson, you can't, if you expect a nation to be ignorant and free, you expect it never was and will never be. And they have dumbed down Americans to such an extreme. And most Americans, I mean, they're okay with them destroying our history in every way, taking down the statues. And then, of course, everything we've seen happen with the protesting the Jewish community and all this. It's nothing new. It's all been done before. And then ultimately is whatever this evil element is that wants to destroy America. I don't understand the evil element. I don't know. You know, if you want to be a communist, go to China and be one. I don't care. But why do you think that you should take down everybody else? It's a sick world. But it really is the history. It's truly, truly nothing new. Trying to get people to understand what's happening here is not new. The technology might be new, but what is happening isn't new. Just the sad state of affairs.
Yes, so let us not suffer from the same fate of our ancestors, and let's get involved, because that's what happened. The people, instead of being involved, stopped being involved. They were taught not to be involved. Isn't that amazing? They were taught to be the silent majority. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
So we have to learn from our past and not replicate it. And I was watching, it was Steve Bannon, and he, Ben Berquam, who does a phenomenal job about the border, went to Chicago and started talking to the blacks in Chicago. And they said that the Republican Party doesn't care about them, so they don't care about the Republican Party, but the Democrat Party is so bad that the only one that they can see voting for is Donald Trump. And they base that on the fact of what he had done in the past, and they recognize that he's being railroaded, and they will stand with him, because they feel that at least he is giving them a chance. And that's the same thing. He speaks to people as though they are people and not a color. He doesn't care what color anybody is. You're a person to him, and that's the way it should be. And it's very sad, but I am hoping against hope that we can make the Republican Party go broke. That would be my best day, would make sure that the Republican Party files bankruptcy, because they deserve it. They are not doing their job. These people are out. They are knocking on doors. And guess what they're doing? They're taking over the Republican Party in Chicago. It's 17 members of the black community who are running for committee man and committee woman in their community. And they have people who are going to run for office. And I think that is a wonderful thing, because for the last, 40, 50 years, Chicago was run by Democrats into the ground, and they stole everything. And he made a very interesting point when he was asked why they think that the Biden administration is bringing all of these illegals into Chicago when there's no work, when the people there don't have anything. And he said, because they want to replace us, we are getting smarter. We are not taking what they are dishing out anymore. And we must be replaced, and we can't let them do that. And I thought that was a very interesting point to make. And I happen to agree with him that I believe that's what this is all about, is to replace the Americans who don't believe in, should I say, America? Replace the Americans that don't believe in the Democrat Party. That's what they want to do. So let us take our clues from Chicago, and let us hope and pray that enough Americans understand and recognize that America must come first. And if you have not had the opportunity, Gert Wilders, He is the newly elected head of the Netherlands. He wrote a speech in 2008 describing exactly what was happening and how he felt that it was the Islamification of Europe, and he believes in putting a stop to it, and he is dedicated to doing that, and therefore he was elected to office because he said that the mass migration into Europe has destroyed everything that Europe stands for, and he sees the same thing. They're taking down the statues. They're making words. You're not allowed to say certain words. You're not allowed to go to certain areas in the Netherlands. And he said Amsterdam, which was the freest city in the world, you can't walk around on the street and feel safe. So it's not just happening in America, and it's happening all over the world. And the good news is the people are beginning to rise up and understand. So maybe, Sally, your wish will come true and the Americans will finally realize that we can't let these people take over our country. They do not have our best interests at heart. They could care less. They hate us. And the interesting thing is, I believe, like, they're self-loathing white people that are doing this. I think those are the ones who are doing the progressives.
And, oh yeah.
You know, we don't challenge them, and we have to challenge them. If you listen to these talking heads on CNN and MSNBC, it's like, are you that stupid? The answer is yes, they are.
Well, are they that stupid or are they that evil? I mean, I do know there's definitely an element of clueless and stupid and ignorant and whatever out there. There's that element, but then there's also that evil element that says, well, we're gonna take over. Because we can do better. And it's like, yeah, it's sick. And the younger generations, they don't have a clue what they're missing. They don't know how easy they've had it. They really don't. And they're going to find out because, I mean, getting a free education, which is a big part of the problem, too, our tax dollars being wasted to indoctrinate these people and to put – it's just the whole process. It's just – it's so, so sick. And then we see what these people in public office are doing. And like you were talking about on that NDAA stuff, the nerve. I mean, everybody has got to call – Speaker Johnson's office. You call your other representatives and senators too, and jump on their case. But we've got to bombard his phone line and tell him, which I've already called several times, in reference to the CR and the FISA, and all the other garbage they're putting in there. It's like, okay, well, we need to rename him. We need to rename him Kevin Jr. because that's what he is. He's a Kevin Jr. It's like, you can't be serious. But I stress in the messages I leave for him, it's like, I thought you said you were a constitutionalist. I thought you believed in that one nation under God thing, and that's what you say when you're in the house. But what you're doing here isn't anything like that. If you're going to do this kind of stuff, you need to come clean, confess that you're not a constitutionalist and that you don't put God first or any, you know, that you're not the Christian person you say you are. You're not the constitutionalist you say you are. You are another Kevin McCarthy, nothing different. And then we also need to kind of let Matt Gaetz and us, hey Matt, getting rid of Kevin was a good thing, but getting a Kevin like isn't such a good thing. What are we going to do to get somebody in there that's going to actually do the job the way it's supposed to be?
Well, I think that's up to us, because I think if these people knew, if we were not silent and we started telling them you're not going to get reelected, and we mean it, I think their stripes would change, especially if they aren't getting the donations that they anticipated. And it's always all about the money. We know that. So if you're going to donate, find your MAGA candidate and give that candidate money. Don't give money to the party. They will waste it on garbage, although I did see that dear Rhino Rana, said that there won't be any more debates. Of course not. Nobody's watching them. They could get the worst numbers on the last debate. It was insanely stupid. And listening to, I heard a couple of clips of DeSantis. That was nauseating. Why didn't he tell the truth? I'm screwed. I think that Florida's energy policy should be just like California and New Hampshire. They have the highest rates in the country, and their grids are falling apart. And the last bus company that I think five communities got buses from, electric buses, isn't that wonderful? Well, the bus company went bankrupt, just like Solyndra, and all of those buses are inoperable, and nobody has any idea how to fix them.
I read that one. I saw that. It's like, wake up and smell the coffee, people. Come on. Stop supporting this crap and push back. Don't comply and reject it. I'm telling you. Just we got to push back on this insanity. They're destroying us, and they don't care. They really just don't care.
No, they don't.
Six.
Oh, I just read the COP is on the verge of complete failure, Vice President Al Gore said. And the Greens are going crazy as fossil fuel phase out is dropped from the proposed climate deal. Isn't that amazing?
That is major news. That's people see this, and it, why is it happening? Because people are pushing back on it. It wouldn't be happening. And I have to tell you, call me crazy if you want to, but I don't think this conversation would be going on if Hillary Clinton had been elected. It's all because Trump got in there and he started pushing back on the insanity of what these people were doing. And the drill, baby drill kind of thing is going to come back. We're going to, I mean, it's the only hope we have to try and to restoring any sense of freedom in this country, which will also go, I mean, the rest of we have so many countries around the world, shouldn't say the rest, but these other countries that are all waking up and saying, wait a minute, America, come on, this isn't what you're supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to do. They're taking the lead, and when are we going to follow? But we've allowed so much evilness to take over this country. It's just, but I have no doubt the majority of the people feel the way we feel. It's an evil element that's out there that's being allowed to do what they want to do because the good people are doing nothing. Evil will flourish while good people sit on their whatevers and do nothing. Excuse me. So it's time that we stand up and defend our rights, defend our Constitution, defend our Declaration of Independence, and stop the insanity here. We, you know, the world, the majority of the world is with us on the freedom side. We have to take advantage of that. We have a chance. We have a chance to save this, but we got to get enough Americans, and just Chicago, the same thing in New York. New York, these people are being pushed out because of all the illegals. It's like, no, this isn't right. You even have that mayor, whatever you want to call, is the insanity of that guy. He's not real happy either right now because he can't do what you know. His welcome sanctuary city thing isn't quite working the way he wanted. And yet they keep sending people there. Not to say when it comes to the immigration, illegal immigration. The invasion, I don't really think our governor is doing enough on the state of Florida either. They don't seem to be doing much. And then you go and ask them, who's going to pay for this stuff? And they say, they're deer in the headlights.
Somebody has to pay for it. Somebody has to pay for it. I thought I could just go print money. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we should print Florida money and we'll put a picture of an orange on it. Something. It's so insane. How many people realize that Florida has one of the largest natural gas reserves in the world, and our governor is closing it so that we can use solar and wind, when only wind and solar are 80% efficient? People don't realize how cloudy Florida is and many places because Florida is so flat, has no wind at all. So what are we doing? What are we doing? But everybody, take a look at your energy bill and see how high and compare it to last year. You might be in service, and you'll be lucky if your energy bill is the same as it was last year as you turn the thermostat up in the summer and down in the winter, because that's what they tell us to do. So
well,
I don't know
what I don't understand. Karen, explain to me why these other candidates who say they're the opposition, and I mean, Trump hasn't said a lot about this either, whether he's going to or not, I don't know. He has said some. He's definitely talked about the EVs and stuff, but and he's talked about the wind and the insanity of it all. But I haven't heard people, you know, maybe this goes back to the Ronald Reagan rule, which maybe I don't necessarily agree with, as to not criticize your fellow Republicans, whatever. Well, I don't want you to criticize. I want you to tell the truth. And it's like, wait a minute, you're running on this platform. Why are you not calling out, well, Governor DeSantis, didn't you just do this in your own state? Aren't you destroying your own energy platform? Because he's out there saying all this other garbage as he's running for the POTUS thing. And it's like, wait a minute, that's not what you're doing here. And why are these other candidates? I think Vivek, I think, is the only one who called him out on any of the stuff he was doing, I think. I'm not too much into watching these debates either. So, but I, as a general rule, when you just hear the pundits talking about that stuff, I don't see anybody calling out the garbage, which, of course, I've sent Steve Dace, who's in Iowa. He's a radio political pundit, whatever, talk show. And he's mad about Trump because of the COVID stuff. And, hey, I get it. I didn't like what he did there either, and I still think he has to come clean on the mistakes made and understand he wasn't the medical professional, and he listened to the wrong people once again. He didn't listen to some of the people like Scott Atlas who were closer and telling him what was going on. He went out there and let Fauci do the insanity. Steve Dace is totally right to be annoyed with some of the things that Trump did, okay? But for him to be all in for DeSantis and not telling any of the truth about what DeSantis is doing, in my own case, I've written to him several times, emails to him saying, why don't you talk about this? Are you really okay? This was, again, the stuff of 2023, which actually maybe, 2023, I think, is when they passed the change the rules so that he could run for office. You don't go and change the laws to support the governor who's doing whatever he feels like doing. That there was a reason why Florida passed the law. You must resign to run for president because you can't be the governor of the state of Florida and run for president. We have no governor. What little bit he's here doing is just destructive, like the energy thing. So, but why would Steve Dace be okay with an individual changing the law for their own political agenda? Why? I don't see it. It's insane. But I don't see anybody else calling out any of this garbage either. Why aren't these other people calling it out? I don't get it.
I would think that it's because they happen to agree with it. They are on the same boat. They believe in the fossil fuel crap. And they are in the same lane as far as that goes. And then we have to go and look at their donors, which often say, make them keep their mouths shut and not say anything. But I don't understand why I think Gavin Newsom, thank goodness, missed an opportunity when he was debating with DeSantis, because if I were Newsom, I would have said, you think California is so awful yet you want to mirror your energy policy after California. I think you missed that opportunity to say that. That is what he wanted to do. But I believe that these people are in bed with the same people. They're globalists. They're not interested in what the little guy pays. They're interested in giving their solar energy China and wind turbine manufacturer China lots and lots of money. According to, I think it was Dave Walsh, who is an expert in the energy sector, he said that we Floridians have already given, I think, $3 or $4 billion to China to manufacture solar panels.
It's so insane. I just don't get it. It's so annoying. Go ahead.
Don't you think we could have used that to help our vets in the States? To help our homeless in the States?
Yeah, but it ultimately comes down to the only reason anybody in public office would go along with this type of stuff is, well, two reasons. One, they're making their own money off of it, their own personal greed. And two is that you're trying to destroy the country. There's no other reason why you would do that. You don't believe in any kind of free society. You're trying to and take down the free society and the free market that we used to have, the fascism, letting the fascism take over, and, of course, how much you stand to financially benefit in the background. I mean, when was the last time we saw a congressional representative or a senator retire poor? It's amazing how they turn into millionaires going to Congress. And it's supposed to be public service, not self-service.
Yeah, right. Anyway, well, Miss Sally, thank you so much. It was a wonderful conversation. Unfortunately, I have to go and interview one of my guests, and I will definitely share this information with everyone, and I appreciate it, and I hope everybody gets the opportunity to tune into the Prism of America's Education on Saturday and Sunday at 7 in the morning and 9 in the evening on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, and listen to Bill Federer and get a piece of very, very poignant, important history, and share that so that we are not victims of repeating it.
Thank you so much, Karen. Always good info, and we will talk again next week. And yes, anybody,
absolutely,
again, I'm telling you, if you've never listened to Bill Federer, you got to listen to him. It's just amazing, the history and the way he presents it all. It's just that's really good info. So I will be definitely tuning in to listen to it. Thank you. And with that being said, let's go on to the next. And I see others out there. Push that one button if you want to chime in. What do you think of 2023? What were you happy about? What were you sad about? What's concerning you? What do you think's happening to our country? What do you think's what 2024 is, based on everything that's happened this year, where we go in 2024? So please join the conversation. It's, as I was talking about the invasion, I mean, massive, massive invasion. There's nobody can tell me that they're not doing this for evil, evil reasons. This is anybody who participates and supports and goes along with, accepts any of this invasion of this country. And I'm talking about anybody in public office at any level. They are a traitor. Because that's what this is. You are allowing our country to be taken over. And I'm telling you, I truly want to know, when do we have the right to defend this homeland? Why do we, the people, have to sit here while they take over our country and we just stand here? We're going to stand here while they lop our heads off and be okay with it. I don't get it. The military, what they have done to this military. The military has turned against its own people. This military shouldn't be going along with some of this stuff either. It's just very, very disgusting. And then the CCP. Now, while I'm talking about the invasion and we see all these young Chinese military age individuals, no women, all men, and because Chinese still know the difference between men and women, the men coming in, there's no kids there, nothing. Where are these people being relocated across this country? We have them literally being planted all over the country, and there's going to be a point where they're going to say, okay, and when is that point going to be? Is the next 9/11, a super 9/11, whatever you want to call it, when is that going to happen? But I believe it's going to happen. I believe it will happen. Something will happen before the next election. The more, how do you say, the the more Trump gains momentum, the more they fear Trump being in there, because Trump is not going along with the stuff. There's a lot of things you can like or dislike about Trump, but I'm telling you, he's followed the belief of a free society, nationalist. Call him a nationalist, nationalistic person, whatever, nationalism, whatever. That's fine. I'd rather have someone like that than globalism, because I don't want one world order. Does anybody out there want one world order? I don't. I don't want the United Nations to be the central government, yet the United Nations is buying up stuff in our homeland too. How they've been allowed to come in. And China, the CCP, owning Smithfield Foods. I want you to think about that. Then they did this back in 2014, I think it was 2014, 2015, in there, and it was all approved by the morons in our public office, the so-called representatives, allowing them to buy it. How did they buy? How did the CCP buy them out? They put it. They take away all the money because the people don't have any money. Their people don't have any rights. They take all the money, and they like make such an offer that you can't refuse. And there are some very similar is happening in housing today. The Black Rocks and all these others that are buying up these areas, they go out there and a house that's $250,000 they're offering $2 million for. They put these crazy numbers, farms. The farms going for three times the price. And then the people sell out because they say, well, it's a good deal. It's a good deal. So they're selling out. That's exactly what happened with Smithfield Foods, basically. They came in way over market value. And think about that. The CCP bought up a business way over the market value. And then think about what they're doing to Trump when it comes to his businesses in New York, where they say he overvaluated. It's all kind of crazy when you think about the games going on here. But they why would the federal government support such a transaction when the company is worth $1 billion and they come in and pay $3 billion. Not, don't use those as the exact numbers, but way over what the market value is. Wouldn't you think, how much money did those people who supported this stuff get paid out of that? How much how much of a penny did they get? They're handing the cookie jar. Because wouldn't you be suspicious of anybody wanting to buy something for that much over the market value? And think about what it really means. Where does fentanyl come from? I hate to say it, and I don't want to be paranoid, but after the COVID stuff, which was all part of working with Fauci and company, but when you think about it, how easy for the CCP to take down this whole country, because, Smithfield Foods, while I don't go and buy Smithfield products in the grocery store, I when that deal went through, I stopped buying anything that said Smithfield Foods. So the better part of 10 years, I haven't bought any Smithfield products, and I tell other people not to. And I've even said stuff when I've been in the stores to, like, the meat department manager or the store manager. I've actually told them about it, mentioned it to them. So I don't buy that. But the sad part is you're out there eating in the restaurants. A lot of the food comes from Smithfield. I don't know to what extent, what percent, but Smithfield is one of the largest producers in this country. So how much would it take for China to have a true bioweapon attack on this country through the food supply? Not to mention the prescription drugs they do are producing as well. I mean, have we done anything to stop China from taking over this country, really? What do you think about it? Have we really done anything to defend ourselves against China? Trump was doing it. He was pushing back on a lot of the stuff they were doing and getting more money back. I don't know what Trump would do about Smithfield Foods. I guess I would like to ask him. Anybody out there who is working closely with Trump's campaign, find out, what does he think about China, CCP, owning one of the largest food producers in this country, and China owning a lot of farms, buying up these farms? And why do we think that China has the right? See, this is the other part that gets me. I hear people talk about the free market thing. It's like, well, it's a free market. The person has the right to sell their land or their company or whatever else, and that's true. However, as a foreign entity, you don't necessarily have the right to own own stuff in this country because you're not a citizen. You don't have the same rights. There used to be a thing about having rights as a citizen versus being a non-citizen, being a communist, being an outside communist. Why would you think that they should have the same rights? And do you not think anything about what that means? I don't know. I just know that we've done we've allowed these people in public office to do everything they can to destroy us, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. When is it going to all hit the fan? I just think the closer and closer it gets to Make America Great and the Trump and America First stuff, the more that momentum grows, we're going to see more violence. We're going to see more train derailments. We're going to see all sorts of things happening here. And we have a Second Amendment that gives us a little bit of protection, but we don't have protection against some of this stuff. And we have a government that's letting the invasion go on. It's just so disgusting. And which goes into that Uniparty I was talking about. And then, when we go to think about what this Republican Party, going back to what Karen said, please, everybody listening, call. You have got to call the Speaker's House. 202-225-4000, I believe it is. I just about got it memorized. Call the Speaker's House and tell him it's unconstitutional for him to in any way allow a vote to go for that NDAA, to go out there and promote FISA, the 702, Section 702, which allows the government to spy on us. They've been illegally spying on us now. If you listen to any of the hearings with Ray in there, what they've been doing, it's all illegal. It's all unconstitutional. So we have got to send a very loud message to Johnson, Michael Johnson, because you know what? As a representative, he's up for re-election too. And well, you know what? Maybe we need to be contacting re-election campaign office and say, this is what he's going to do. He ain't going to get reelected. And make sure you don't give money to him. Do not give money to the evildoers, the traitors. Do not give money, as Karen was saying, do not give money to these political parties. There's absolutely nothing more evil than giving money to any political party. No. Do it. We need to shut down the political parties, and that's the way we do it. Boycott the Republican Party, boycott the DNC, boycott any of them. Because they're nothing but money laundering institutions and power grabs. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. And let's see, Kevin McCarthy. I saw some clip of him on 60 Minutes or whatever it was. I'm not even sure. But, and I did see him with, I've decided to resign and pursue some other interests. I really care about my country. I will continue to support the country I love and all this stuff. And, I don't know about you, but I was about to puke. It was disgusting. It was nothing. I'm looking at this guy and this is evilness. This is true evilness. Now, why did you get ousted? Because you were playing the same game everybody was warning about. Many of us didn't want him to be the speaker to begin with. I did what I could to get people to vote against him and call him and, not support him by any means, saying, why would you support this guy? Why would Trump support this guy? I don't know what kind of political game, whatever the politics he's trying to play there. But these were all the reasons why we didn't want McCarthy there, because he was a rhino. He worked more with the Democrats than he did the Republicans. He didn't stand for freedom, that isn't what he stood for. He stood for the insanity of what the Democrats were doing. So why would you do that? I guess this kind of, it really shows you what a true cesspool, what we really have in D.C., the cesspool of D.C., because, okay, he was ousted out, and now he's mad. And what is he going to do for revenge? What is his revenge? So this is truly the revenge of Kevin McCarthy. Well, you know what? Here's what I can do. I can resign at the end of the year, and then that's going to take away one seat from the Republicans. And it's coming out of California, just like Santos is coming out of New York. If they get somebody in there to replace for this interim time for the next year, do you think it's going to be a Republican or a Democrat? So this is McCarthy's revenge. So you know what? You're going to play like this. I'm going to support the Democrats, and I'm going to resign because that way I will get back at you, conservative, constitutionalist Republicans. I'll get back at you. So this is the game he's playing. The guy is evil. The guy is evil. And why did they want him as the Republican or the House Speaker of the House to begin with? What was one of his primary qualifications? He was good at raising money for the Republican Party. So instead of working to represent us, he's out there playing games to raise money. This is what we have in office. Why do you think our country's failing? And then, let's see, then of course I mentioned about the impeachment stuff. I guess to a certain degree I understand some of this when it comes to the Republicans saying, because of the Senate being split, that you're never going to, the odds of getting anything really done is limited. But when it comes to Mayorkas, there's no justification for not, if you're not going to impeach him, you need to defund him. You need to take away the salary. You have that control. We don't have to pay for traitors. If the person isn't going to do their job, then don't pay them. It's that simple. And you know what? If he can stay there without an income from us, then you have to wonder who's really paying him to do what he's doing on that border. And the nerve. How many times, I'm assuming that the people listening here right now, that you have listened. You have heard him say, oh, the border is secure. The problem is our immigration policy, not the border security. Anybody with a brain knows that's just not true. It's a lie. It's a fraud. It's perjury. But what do they do about it? And for the most part, you get a couple of representatives out there and a senator here or there who actually speak up and challenge it. But for the most part, they don't say anything. Except when they're running for election and they're going to have border security. No, if you're not doing it now, you're not going to do it in 12 months. Come on. Give me a break. You're not going to do it. So if you're going to do it now. Roy Chip, I love listening to him because he goes out there and he's on the case of Republicans. And all the options. And, I would have loved to have seen him be the Speaker of the House. He would have been great because he would have demanded that these other changes be in there or there won't be a vote. And you know what? I don't care if there's not a vote. I don't care. They can shut down the government. I don't care. The essential stuff which would still be there. It would never – they're not going to shut down all the key essential stuff like they scare people into thinking. You know what? I don't care if they shut down the IRS. I'd be okay with that. I don't care if they shut down the Department of Education or EPA and the other insanity that's out there. We can easily do without them. So let them shut them down. That's okay. But for them to go out there and take over this border situation, it's totally, totally unacceptable, and it's totally treasonous and traitors that would allow this to happen. And here we are. And I did ask that to Tom Holman at one time. So when are we the people supposed to defend our homeland? Never? We just stand here and watch? I don't get it. And the other, I got to say, when it comes to the GOP with my Governor DeSantis. If you're not paying attention, please go back there and check and see who he's aligned himself with. He has aligned himself with the establishment big time. And like Karen was saying, what he's done to the energy in Florida, what he did playing games with the law in Florida, it's all disgusting. It's outrageous. We're not going to survive if we continue to support this stuff and continue to act like it's okay. We have got to speak up and oppose it. That's all there is to it. We cannot allow it. The spending spree has to stop. I know it's not just me, and I truly believe the vast majority of Americans agree. Why are we securing the borders of every country around the world except our own? Come on. If you're a Democrat, and I'm telling you, I put this out there, and if you know anybody that's listening who's a diehard Democrat, with the exception of Brother Warren, we'll leave him out of this conversation. If you know a Democrat who still truly believes Biden is so wonderful and that the Democrats have done so much for us and that things are better today than they were 4 years, 3 years ago, whatever, I want them to come on the show and I want them to explain to me why they think what's going on in that border is okay and that we don't have – that this isn't a problem. I want them to come and explain. I want them to explain to me why is it okay to take away the rights for people to have a gas stove or gas car, combustion engine. I want them to explain to me I can't find anybody who'll come on and talk about it. It's so why won't they? And I think we're pretty open and fair on this show. I think I've allowed those who don't necessarily agree with me to have a pretty open forum to speak about these things. I want a Democrat or whoever, a uniparty, whatever, come on and tell me why you think what's going on is good, how you think we're better off with Biden. Tell me why Biden shouldn't be, at a minimum, Amendment 25. The guy doesn't know what's going on. He's not in his right mind anymore. And then not to mention all the bribery that's going on. When is any, and do we have to wait until there's somebody else in office to actually take that? Because I do know there's people that say, well, if he got convicted, he'd pardon himself and this and that and whatever else. And maybe there's some element of that there. But I don't think anything would happen before the election. But more to the point, you're calling out why he should not be the president again. And let's see who they bring up. Who do you think they would do you think it's going to be Michelle Obama? Do you think she's going to be the next Democrat candidate for the presidency? Which will make, okay, this is, as far as I'm concerned, this administration has really been Obama's third term with his surrogates in the background doing the stuff for him. And if Michelle gets out there, this will be Obama's fourth term, because, again, she's not going to be calling the shots. He's going to. I don't know. What do you think? Quiet out there tonight. Let's see. Oh, okay, I'm seeing some comments out there. Ooh, I'm going to check the okay. Good evening, all. Okay. Okay. Things are voted for him. Okay. And let's see. It's for the greater good. Explain is for the greater good. I'm not sure what you're saying. Joe? Hi, Joe. Which Joe are you? Oh, yeah, okay, Joe is out there. Ooh, Joe's being quiet tonight. Joe, any updates on your campaign, feel free to join in and share anything that you're doing, how people can help. If you've got anybody walking the neighborhoods doing some of that stuff and getting your name out there more, feel free to join in. And also to any, just what people think of 2023. How good are we? Oh, about the gas stoves, you're telling, okay, the Alaskan, you're telling me that gas stoves are bad for us? Is that what you're saying? It's for the greater good. I'm not sure I'm following what you're saying there. I'm not sure which side you're coming on. But, no, the gas stoves, just think of the restaurants alone that will be out of business if there's no gas stove. And, you know, I don't think most people think about that. But if you think about when no gas stoves, cooking utensils or equipment, I would say the majority of restaurants have gas stoves. Not all of them, but the majority of them do. So I would say that's doesn't make any sense there. About these gas stoves, it's for the greater good. It's okay, whatever. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get Joe out there. I see he's going to chime in. Then I see Nathan's out there as well. So we'll get Nathan in after that. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
How you doing? Can you hear me
well,
okay?
Trying to figure out what 2023 has meant to all of us, the good, bad, and the evil, and whatever else. And then, of course, what 2024 is going to bring and how people can help you. Because we need you in public office, and this is at the state level. Because we do need need the right people at the state level too. Go ahead.
Well, Sally, you know, people like me are going to have a hard time because they're going to arrest us, they're going to harass us, they're going to smear us, they're going to dump the garbage on our name, they're going to dig up old tax bills, they're going to do a Donald Trump. That's what we need to call it. They're going to pull a Trump on us. And because he's going to be the martyr, you know, they're going to arrest him. They're going to throw him in jail, and you know, if he's elected while he's in jail, I don't know. We all know the elections are pretty much rigged, and for the most part. I mean, are there some honesty? Yes. Can we prevail and change things? Yes. But the problem of it is that we are really behind in the fight. It's like the 10th round, 11th round right now, and we're down on points, bad, you know. So we got to score the knockout, I guess you could say, you know. So we're in big trouble. big trouble. As far as my situation goes here in North Carolina, I don't know how much you know. I forget who I've shared my story with, actually, what I did and what I used to do. And I don't know if you know too much details. But new developments have come up this past week, and they're coming after me. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. We'll see what happens. I'm being prepared right now to make some press statements or whatever, because I'm pretty sure they're going to contact me. And I'm going to probably do a show after yours, so I don't want to conflict with yours, and probably a Facebook Live, and probably go into detail and show documented evidence, proof, facts that back up a lot of the corruption and facts of what happened to me. And I'm going to parallel with that with how they're doing Donald Trump and how they're doing several other candidates around the country, and people just don't hear about it. They only hear about Trump. So this is happening to a lot of different people around the country as we speak. I yield.
Well, you know, do you want to give us just maybe a few more minutes, a little bit? I cannot, yeah, you're going to, you know.
I didn't know if you had anybody waiting or not.
Well, I got a couple people out there. Yeah, well, let's go ahead and see what Nathan has, and then hopefully we'll have time.
Yeah.
I do want to hear more about it. Then, let's go ahead and get Nathan. Then there's one other caller out there after that. Hey, Nathan.
I was going to call in on the comment with a comment on when you were mixing up how Obama is. This is his third time in office,
and
he would be at the fourth if Kamala gets in there. You know, a lot of people miss something back one time when he was talking, and Rush Limbaugh and a lot of talk show hosts basically laughed at him and said he didn't know what he was doing because he made the statement that he's going to lead from behind. That's how dictators do it. The dictator doesn't jump out there out front and just, y'all follow me. He stays back and gives commands and puts peoples in place. So that there, we got to stop thinking that Obama's incompetent. He's been trained for what he's doing. And but on this thing with, I heard and I thought about Joe when I heard this. When I read it, I was reading on this cop, you know, that. You know, went to jail for killing this guy back a couple years ago. He just got stabbed like 22 times in court, and the guy that stabbed him, he wasn't black; he was Hispanic, and he's in a gang who's was at odds with blacks, and somehow or another in the process of the whole judicial system, he's an FBI informant, but when the FBI informant used what they were giving him, just like Joe, then we're done with you and we're going to put you in jail. We'll find something on you. So we need to come up with a judicial system that doesn't make friends with people on the streets, and then after they get what they want, then they figure out a way to destroy him, you know?
Yeah.
This is not the way the law is supposed to work. It's like we're going to use you to get her, and then now that we got her, we're going to stomp you down and break you. But you know, you wanted to be a good citizen and work with the cops to get this bad guy down. So that's what we got. That's what we got. We don't have a law, legal system, law enforcement, or anything like that.
Amen.
We need to get rid of the Republicans. We need to get rid of the Democrats. We need to acknowledge that there is no two-party system in the Constitution.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I sent you that rule that they made up back in 1877 in case there was a problem with the election for president. And the thing, when you get around to getting on that, just remember this: it was not amended to the it's not an amendment to the Constitution. It's just something they came up back there, in case there was ever a problem electing the president. And then, the reason we just now learned about it is because Nancy Pelosi proposed using that, 15 people, five from the Congress, five from the Senate, and five from the U.S. Supreme Court, 15 people would decide who our president and vice president is going to be.
Oh, Lord.
And they they were a little bit honest. They were a little bit honest in it because they did in this thing acknowledge that the president and the vice president are two separate elections.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and I started to read up on that 1877 stuff, and I don't know if you were listening at the very beginning part of the show, but I did announce January 8th. January 8th is going to be a super deep dive into the Constitution and into elections, and we'll use Florida's state constitution as part of it, too, to dissect, you know, what the state can do, what they can't do, the electors, how many different types of electors are in the Constitution, because there's two. All the stuff where we're going to have a very in-depth discussion constitutionally about the elections and how what's going on here, because we have a lot of problems, and how the 24th Amendment and how the issue with the closed primaries is that tax dollars are being used to fund the private entities to control the ballot box. It's going to be a very interesting discussion. I think, Nathan, you're definitely going to want to be there. So mark your calendar.
Well, that
January 8th.
That citizens, the citizens voting for the primaries is repeated so many times that I keep finding new places in the four documents, the preamble, Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Amendments. I always noticed there was one in the 14th, and I just recently heard, Monica Lewinsky speaking against Trump, and she quoted that the 14th Amendment didn't allow him to be president from Trump, as president from jail. And I went to look up what she referenced, and it's like, you know, she even misread that, because it again in the 14th it says we citizens get to vote for the electors. Joe could be an elector, and I could vote for him, and then he can vote for the president, and then in another election, the vice president, and I could ask him, Joe, why did you vote for Obama? And he goes, because it's my vote. Get out of my face. I'm not linked to any. I don't owe anybody but my conscience my vote. That's all it's got to be. So I made that Obama up because I know you wouldn't vote for him, but. But it's still your conscience, Cindy. You're not owned by any two parties.
Parties. In fact, I think right now, technically, I did vote for Ron DeSantis for governor. I didn't vote for him for president. I won't vote for him for president. I did vote for him for governor, and that was when he was acting like he was going to worry about being governor for 4 years. But outside of that, I don't think there's anybody in public office that I voted for.
I didn't vote for DeSantis because when he went to the CPAC thing down here in Orlando right after the election, and he was bragging about that the Republicans have picked up something like 2 million, more than 2 million vote registered Republicans. And I called his office, and I gave the lady the site. This is the government. Go to this site, look at that, and tell him I will not ever vote for him because he just told a lie. And the other thing is he got a lot of mainly black people mad because he did a whole bunch of redistricting here in Florida, and he doesn't know there is no such thing as districts in the states. Anywhere in the Constitution, there's only one time the word district is mentioned, and it's for the capital of the United States. That's the only district there is in the U.S. Constitution. So we need to read the Constitution, and I can't vote for some guy that only knows Republican and Democrat. I'll leave it blank. I got a conscience to live with.
Yep. Well, and that's what we're going to have that conversation about the 24th Amendment. And as I've stated to anybody here, it was to build a case for me to be forced, to be taxed, forced against my will to have to be associated with a private entity in order to have the right to vote. That's the intent. And then that's going to be part of the discussion on the 8th. So definitely tune in.
Well,
it's going to be
interesting. Well, you know, something I've done for several elections, when we have our primaries, I can't vote because I'm not a Republican or Democrat. So I from the Constitution. I make my case that I have the right to vote in the primaries and that there's no political parties in the Constitution. I make that case. I send it to the Division of Elections. I send it to all my state and federal representatives. I send it to the governor. And the last time I did that in the last election, last presidential election, Mr. Tolbert, I found out the next morning, he took a picture, he printed out my letter, and then he sent it to the Supreme Court of the United States, and he sent me a picture of the letter and the return receipt that they had gotten it. And I asked him, do you think they'll consider it? And he said, no. But 100 years from now, when people are digging through the ashes and they're going through their computer records, they'll say, hey, there was one guy back then that read his Constitution.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe, if you want to, and then I'll comment on that, too.
No, I was just agreeing with him. That's absolutely right. You know, it's amazing what we find from history. You know, we dig up something and some guy's voice was lost in history, you know.
Yep.
We can't make those mistakes.
Yeah, he could have been heard, and he might have had the answer. That's why I say I don't care how smart you are, how many degrees you got. Some peasant down here that might have an interest can see something that you're a professional on, that you're a scholar on, and they can show you something you're wrong about. But you know what? You're not going to ignore them because you got too much behind you to listen to this peasant. And what he has to say, there's only two things. There's a critic or a teacher. Whenever someone disagrees with you, you need to listen and to decide, am I the teacher or the student in this disagreement?
Yeah.
And we've got a couple other callers out there now. But
I'm
going to
hang up and
before,
keep listening.
Okay. Thank you, Nathan. And what Nathan and I have talked about many times in the past, I totally I vote my conscience. When it comes, when I walk in there into the voting into that primary, if I don't like anybody in that primary, I wouldn't go in that. In this particular case, I do want to cast a vote for Trump in the primary. The only way I'll be allowed to do that is if I go and participate in this Republican Party, because that's the only way the state of Florida is going to let me vote, which is, again, it's unconstitutional, and I'm trying to build the case. If there wasn't anybody in there on that, I wouldn't do it. I would not worry about it if there wasn't anybody I really wanted to support. I don't vote for those I don't believe in. I have voted for third parties many, many times because I did not support either of the two other ones. I voted for Ron Paul. I voted for Ross Perot. So, unfortunately, too many. And the bad part is too many people are so addicted to the party. The Tea Party, I went to different Tea Party events, and I would say, but don't you can't just go along with Republicans. I said, but they're the lesser of two evils. Evil is evil, people. Evil is evil.
I remember the state of Connecticut. I remember the state of Connecticut, right? Right.
Yep.
Everybody voted for Ross Perot. Everybody. And he only got like 1% of the vote in Connecticut, I think. You know, but I remember everybody. You know, it's like you know they were rigging it up back then. You know,
that was true in Maine too. He had the votes in Maine. The corruption of the ballot box has been going on for a long time, and so many people they would act like, well, it wasn't enough to make a difference because you know there were problems in the election in Orange County.
Yep.
It's not enough to overturn the results. It's all garbage. So that's why I say 2024 is Judgment Day in many respects. The only last thing I want to mention on the Nathan thing, going back to you're following your conscience and all, that's all good, and I believe in all that. But, you know, you can't fight – if you think you can fight the battle alone, I would go back and say, well, George Washington – what would have happened if you'd been standing there alone? Did it matter that you had those troops behind you? Or did you do it all alone? Yeah, you can't do it all alone. You do need a leader. You do need someone who's going to take the helm and lead people to accomplish what we all want to accomplish here. But I understand all these different groups have different leaders. They want this, want that. It's a little bit messy out there. But I don't believe any one person can do it alone. I just don't think one person alone. one person can make a difference, but I don't think you're going to win this revolution, this take back this country alone. Well, that being said, 8091.
Okay, at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Dr. Kim was saying it was going to be a different procedure than what I had the last time. I guess, yeah.
Okay, what is this in reference to?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that it would be a different procedure than what the doctor did on me a month ago, or better than a month ago.
What
okay.
show do you think you're calling?
So,
does this procedure affect
you? 9 a.m. Okay, and where am I supposed to go?
Okay.
Okay, let me... I'm sorry. What is your first name,
again?
Please? What is your first name?
This is Doctor Who.
Yes. Okay, and who's the doctor I'm going to see?
Doctor Who.
I don't know. I'm going to put you back on mute until we figure out exactly who you're trying to call. Because I think you got the wrong number here. We're talking about 2023,
okay.
The history of 2023. And
God,
the doctors aren't the best out there either.
Okay.
Those are the COVID doctors.
And that's at 9 a.m.?
Yes, 9 o'clock, 2029.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not real sure what that's all about. Hopefully they just woke up and don't know what they just called. They dialed something wrong. I don't know. I can't help you on that one. Sorry. Continue to listen to the show if you'd like, but I had to mute you because I don't have any clue what you're talking about, and I definitely don't want any medical history of anybody's personal medical stuff on the show right now. So anyway, with that being said, let's go.
Let's talk about that lawsuit.
You know? Is this door number one, Sarge?
Okay. No. Well, actually, I'm standing by door number three. But yeah, it's the right guy.
Okay.
Hey,
Sarge,
hey.
What? Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Let me make a comment. And I'll hit there.
No.
Like
just what
do
you think about 20?
20-
Yeah, what do you think about 2023? And hopefully you don't have any medical procedures you need to discuss.
Not that I'm going to share with you. Anyway, look, on my journey to becoming a Declaration of Independence conservative, at least that's what I style myself as, I began my journey by becoming a Republican because I thought that was probably the best route to go and become a conservative. I was rapidly disabused of that notion after I participated in Alan Key's doomed senatorial campaign against Barack Obama, and I saw the utterly hideous way the sausage is made in Illinois. It was disgraceful, an absolute disgrace. I began to see how the two parties are indeed port and starboard wings of the same bird. So I was disabused of it and all that, and even more so when I worked with Jim Oberweis's gubernatorial campaign, who, by the way, was warning as loudly as he could of the invasion on the southern border, and he was utterly ridiculed for it. They said he was an alarmist, he didn't know what he was talking about, that he was just, just hyping up some fears that would never be realized to the extent he said they were. And you better believe, compared to what's going on now, he was understating the case by an enormous margin. But so I've become disillusioned with the parties, and, I get all that. But while I understand the efforts to limit their influence, and I think there may be some success in doing that, there's no way you're going to be able to do away with political parties as long as they have the First Amendment. It's not possible. People have a right to petition the government for redress of grievances, to organize themselves along any lines that they choose that is lawful, and to put any labels on them that they want to. So I don't see any possible way to... Now, what I think is good to do is to, like you're doing, Sally, in saying that the government should not help them in picking their own candidate. They should pay for that entirely on their own. They should announce it entirely on their own. They shouldn't get any government. It's, like you say, it's private. The DNC and the RNC, they're private entities. They don't have anything to do with the government directly. At least not supposed to. So I think in that respect, something useful to get up. But we've got to disabuse ourselves of notion. As long as you got a First Amendment with the right of free association and the right to petition your government and the right to organize, that, you know, we're going to get rid of political parties, it's just not going to happen. But I do think there's a way.
Just clarifying, I'm not saying get rid of political parties. I don't have to be a part of one. The whole thing is should be a private entity. The political party should have absolutely no direct control or access to that voting mechanism. That's the whole problem. They should not have the right to go and close and say that I have to be a member of their party if I'm going to vote for this person in the primary. To me, it should all go back to, as I've said in the past, they have their own convention. They have their own club. You want to be part of it, you go do whatever. You want to give Republicans money or Democrats, whoever. You want to give them your money. I wish you wouldn't, but okay, that's your right. And if you truly all come together for a common cause, which, of course, is what isn't happening today, the corruption and the commingling, the uniparty stuff. But if that's what you want to do, okay, fine. Then if you could technically, I mean, as I see it, you would have the right to put two Republicans on the primary ballot if you so desired. If your convention said, hey, we got two really strong people and we believe one of them could make it, let's put both of them on there for that primary ballot and then let the people say who they like the best out of those two Republicans, if in fact that's what they want, and the independents would vote on that one too. So I don't have a problem now when it comes to PACs, political action committees. It's a very tricky thing when it comes to the Constitution and also money laundering. When it comes to how much you can fund, the issue of funding, because right now we have the best government money can buy, because it's all who has the money. So how do we actually even the playing field, so that all voters have a true equal right to vote and participate in the government, in the election of their representatives? Because right now I don't see that we do. And a big part of that is because of the money, show me the money, super PACs, political action committees, they're nothing but money laundering devices. And I still believe Citizens United was totally wrong. I don't believe that private corporations qualify as voters. I think only voters should be the ones donating. Yeah, if you're going to own the ballot, you're the one who, if we're going to own our own ballot box, it should be only our money, not everybody else's money out there, not all the corporations, not all the CCPs out there and what George Soros and company, all the money laundering that goes on to it. How you clean up that money laundering from these super PACs is probably the bigger question. So total reform of funding of campaigns. Joe, were you going to say something?
No. I was just waiting on you. Okay. I'm sitting here chilling, waiting on you.
Okay. We have two other calls.
Well, you know, you're saying so, Sally. You know, Sally, you know, we're facing a daunting task. It's an uphill climb. Everybody who has a vested interest in being a member of a political party, one of the two, let's face it, most of them are one of the two. They're all sitting at the levers of power, and they have a vested interest in maintaining the status quo with regard to that. We got a long uphill climb to convince the majority of our citizenry, our fellow citizenry, that this sort of thing, the manner in which these Republican parties can organize and influence elections is something that needs to be rearranged. And that's going to be a long uphill slog. I'm not saying it's not worth trying to do, but it ain't going to come overnight unless there's a catastrophe that might accelerate it.
Well, and that's 2024, I think, is a critical judgment day to say that we're going to make changes. We have to obviously, let's face it, Trump isn't your average Republican. It's going to take a major change in the leadership of the parties. especially on the Republican side, if we're going to have any hope to do it. But we really got to, the other part, we don't have a free media. I mean, the media was supposed to be this grand watchdog, but it's been taken over by the political parties as well. Because we got over half the voters are not Democrats or Republicans. Between the no party affiliates and all the third party, you know, libertarians, you know, Constitution Party, et cetera, all of those out there, you have over 50% of the voters totally away from the Republicans and the Democrats, yet they don't have a voice. Not really. That there's something wrong when the majority of the people have no voice in the process, because these two political entities control all the strings. They're the ones with all the money, the influence bought and paid for. To me, it's called bribery, but some people don't seem to think it is. But I think it's bribery when these political entities are buying their way into the system, taking over the system, and which includes the voting machines. What are the Republicans doing on the voting machines and all the other stuff? They like it, too, because they rig them, too.
Yeah.
Just depends on who's got the money at that time. So we do have two other callers out there. Well, I see Nathan's calling back in, but I'll go to another. This could be John Doe. Well, no. 1-1.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello.
How are you this evening, Sally?
I'm doing fine. What are you thinking? What do you think about 2023 and the discussion in general?
Well, I second the motion and agree with Sarge on what he was talking about, but I was actually going to call in and share another perspective on, you know, these foreigners buying up property and stuff in America. If they're tied to a government that has control over their, you know, country's currency, check this out. We know that America has about $1 trillion worth of debt that China owns. Okay, so basically America is paying China through the bonds, well, or the treasury notes. And China does not give a fuck. I mean, within reason, take this with a grain of salt, China doesn't care that much about being the world currency at this particular point. They are trying to use the BRICS nations, you know, the Shanghai Accord thing, to try to change the base currency to their or Japan or some other group's currency. But whenever China creates, you know, tons and tons and tons of their own currency, and then they turn around and use that by going through the money exchange to buy up Smith Foods, or was it Smithfield Foods, and all these other entities throughout, you know, like they have some port authority 50-year contracts and stuff now. Well, the Americans turn around and pay the bill. So that little by little, China is basically letting us fund our own overthrow. Does that do you understand what I'm trying to paint? And so it's a national security issue.
Totally. Yeah, totally agreement.
I don't understand that.
Go ahead,
Joe. I don't get what you're trying to say, John Doe. I don't really understand it.
Okay, well, it's simple. If I'm a communist country and I have total control over all of the policies and what's going on in my country, and I can print my own currency, what I do is print enough currency to use it to buy up foreign countries. So therefore, I'm going to balance that, because I don't want my own currency to be insolvent, you know, or at a point where there has little to no value. But I don't mind going very close to that, because I have dominant control over my people and the businesses within my country. So therefore, I'll print enough money and then send it through the currency exchange to make sure that I can buy Smithfield Fields or all these port authority things and whatnot. And then the people who are using those businesses, like people that are buying up all the product of Smithfields and using the ports, they're paying the fee. It's just like when you own a house. The renters is actually buying the house for you, because you're charging them a rent and they're actually paying the bill every month through payments, and it ultimately they pay the mortgage on the house. Well, if you're able to print your own currency, you do the same thing by China printing up all this money, and they do balance it pretty tight, but they don't care that people are looking at them as, you know, being a low currency or whatnot, because they put enough of their own currency into use in America, you know, converting it to American dollars, and then they buy up enough stuff little by little. They continue to keep buying up land and buying up access through our ports and having more companies controlled by China entities. Then America is funding those because all of the people who are using those services or buying those products are paying off that debt. And then that's why China, having over $1 trillion worth of our bond and treasury note debt, they're letting you and me pay it off, because when each time those bonds come to term and they get paid off, it's our American government that is paying them bonds and treasury notes back to China. Does that make sense?
Well, I'll add something. You know, in the past, which I've done in the last few years quite a bit of, if it's made in China, I don't buy the made in China. I try to buy made in USA. Well, Smithfield Foods is made in USA, but it's really China. So it's really made in China, made by China in the USA. So we are profiting. We're helping to profit the CCP because they've taken over our economy in so many ways. That's the way I kind of take it, is how we're helping to fund them is what we're doing. And, you know, every which way you can imagine. Yeah, go ahead.
We're helping to fund our own demise, because all of those Chinese products that we're paying, like the tariffs and stuff, they don't care, because just as long as they maintain a balance in their currency and then they keep printing enough without going into insolvency, they'll pay the tariffs. It's like the $28 billion or whatnot Trump is always bragging about giving the farmers. Well, gee whiz, Smithfield Farms is a part of the farmers. So now that $28 billion helped pay off the Smithfield Farms issues, and the Smithfield Farms money flows back to the CCP. So it's all getting paid off by us.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. We are funding our own demise in so many ways.
All the Walmart China stuff that we're buying, all those companies that are out of China, they are paying CCP to stay in the float, and they're getting their, you know, deals paid back. Anyway, I'm not the greatest communicator in the world, but we don't get into this kind of stuff very much either, and I don't think most people understand it. But I'm not sure I understand everything either, so I'm hoping other people, this will stimulate the conversation for them to help us open up some knowledge and information on the voids that, you know, people like me can't fill in. But thank you for the time, Sally. Back to you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Good info. And it's true. Well, how many ways we're financing, and what happened? I just recently learned, I don't know, in the past month or so here, that it was an executive order that got us off the gold standard. I didn't write. How do we allow presidents to turn into such dictators? To me, it's like, there is no gold standard anymore. And of course, that's why we have so many of the problems we have on that. And I know Joe talks a lot about the finance on that one. What's happened and what we've done with the Federal Reserve and all this other mess. We dug our own grave, and it's nothing. It's nothing new in the sense Jefferson said, you know, a central bank will be the worst. It'll be worse than any standing military. It'll kill us faster than anything else. And well, here we are. So it's definitely true. I see Nathan has chimed in again. Anything else, Sarge, at this point, or are we ready to go to Nathan? Do you want to chime in on anything real quick before I go back to Nathan?
Yeah, I'd like to chime in and I'd like to hear what Nathan has to say, and then I think I'll respond to that.
Okay, let's get Nathan back in here. Okay,
yeah.
Nathan.
Hey.
Let's see here.
Yeah, I called in to say that I have no problem with political parties as long as they're people-generated, not two political party generated from the government. That's not giving us a voice. It's giving us their voice, and we have to listen to what they say to get reelected and kind of win our hearts type of thing. And I wouldn't have any problem with 100 political parties, but the government doesn't need to be in it, because the government is – that's why we got a bunch of parties down here that will never get elected or get off the ground, because of the Republican and the Whig Party. And the Whig Party was what took over the Republican Party whenever Lincoln won. So this is the Whig Party. This is not – but, hey, listen on this thing. I remember back in 2006 that we were hearing in the news about Dubai's coming over here to manage one of our ports, and people were screaming about that, calling the White House, calling their elected leaders, saying, no, 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 we can manage it. But that wasn't about them managing it. They own it. They own it. They're coming over here to run their port. And I just recently learned, and I've had a hard time finding it, I just recently learned that China owns 49% of Port Miami, and there was two other countries split the 51%, and I could not pronounce the countries myself personally. But I'm, while you guys were talking just now, I went on there, and I can't find those other two countries, but China still is involved in buying Port Miami and Houston. So the thing is this was that Executive Order 12803 that George Daddy Bush should have been tried for treason. He said, by the authority invested in me in the U.S. Constitution. I don't know where you can find he gets to just completely wipe away the U.S. Constitution as one man without consulting the people and three branches of government. That was a dictator, just gave our whole entire system to the globalist economy and wiped away our sovereignty. And that's why we're sitting here battling with all these other countries that just, and the thing is they're buying large amounts of property around our military bases. Guess what that means? Before the war starts, it's over. You know, and
well,
these people are really good
yeah.
at digging tunnels up under stuff and being able to sneak up under and do whatever they want to do. So this is what we got with two political parties up there making deals, and not the people aren't a part of it. And it said we the people, and that's illustrated throughout the four documents. We the people. We can't. It's basically the politicians are out there making deals. They got a future for us.
We literally have sold that. It's like communist China has taken over this homeland, and we don't even know it. I believe it was Trump who intercepted some of the guns. They were shipping guns in, and this was they had the deal out there. This was a Clinton deal. Long Beach, California, that port. That was a 99-year deal for China to control that one, and they were bringing in disassembled arms, and Trump somehow caught them on that and took over. And so here we are. Trump is the only one that's done anything like that. And when it comes to George H.W. Bush, well, he was the New World Order guy. Don't forget his State of the Union. Well, New World Order.
He was the ambassador to the UN, and then after that he was ambassador to China, and then he came over and decided he was going to run for Congress, and guess what? See what happens when you plant a weed in Congress?
We got
not only that, we got the Title X, the bill that funds Planned Parenthood. He voted. And this is why I have a hard time taking sides with the Whig Party here. It was the Republicans that gave us funding through Daddy Bush, Title X. And in 70, there was 100-0, and Nixon signed it in the Senate. And funding for Planned Parenthood was established. And then seven of the nine judges on the Supreme Court ruled for Roe v. Wade. And now we're saying, well, thank God it went back to the states. It never was at the states. But we're saying thank God. But guess what? It's still funded by Title X. So these states are coming up with all their money. But there's two things that still funds abortion if you're against that subject. Okay, here's the thing. Title X and Obamacare, which was Romney Care, that Obama brought in as Obamacare. And a lot of people don't know this, but Mitt Romney was offered to be the health care czar. And he said, sitting at anybody's feet. I'm not sitting at anybody's feet. Y'all supposed to be sitting at his feet because he thinks he's a god.
Yeah. Why is he retiring? Why is he getting out of politics? They must got some dirt on
him.
He
ain't getting out of politics.
I mean?
He ain't getting out of politics.
Not?
What he's saying is, you know, all these old people need to retire, and I agree with that. And he'll get everybody agreeing with him, but at the last minute, somebody's saying, "Well, we need Romney. We need Romney to run. He's playing a game." I know that's what I'm saying.
I know I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying, but what do you think he's doing though? What's he up to?
He's trying to make everybody like he. I'm gonna tell you about Romney. Romney is the proof that a snake stands upright and wears a suit. Mitt Romney, you know, listen to this. Mitt Romney owns Stericycle through Bain Capital. He owns Clear Channel. He owns iHeartMedia. That's why in 2012, when he was running for president, they took Michael Savage and Rusty Humphreys off of the I-4 corridor because one-third of the population of Florida lives on I-4. So you got to win I-4 in order to get Florida. And this is what Rusty Humphreys, I got his personal email. He sent me and he goes, "Can you ask the manager why they took me off?" I sent him, and I blind copied Rusty on it. I said, "Why did y'all take Rusty Humphreys off?" And he sent back and said his ratings too low. Listen, Michael Savage was number two and beating Rush Limbaugh in some of those markets. He was number one, okay, in the top 10. Rusty Humphreys, out of the top 100 talk show hosts in America, was number 16 when they said he was dropping his dropping him because of his ratings being down. They brought a guy in here from California, brought him in here, and as soon as the election was over, then he went back to California. So, you know, this is what Mitt Romney can do. And here's another thing a lot of people don't know. Mitt Romney
Hold on, Nathan. Nathan, hold on. Let everybody know we're down to about 3 minutes. We're not going to carry. Joe's going to have a show shortly after this, so we'll run over by, you know, 5 or 10 minutes here, not too long. But if you're listening on the Internet, just be aware. You may want to call in to finish listening. Go ahead. Go ahead, Nathan.
Okay, but Mitt Romney owns, and he says he, when 2012, he said he was pro-life. And I'm not going to fuss with him. He's got the right to have his opinion on stuff. But listen, when he said that, through Bain Capital, he owns Stericycle, which is the medical company that disposes of the body parts once they're removed and put in a container and carried out to a lab. So, you know, I'm telling you, if there's any such level as evil, then it has got to be him. And one of the things I have done, I got the list of I got the email of basically every major Christian, religious right Christian leader in America, and I sent them questions asking them, how can you endorse Mitt Romney, because they saw, because Mitt Romney was doing Obama's policies when little baby Barack was in diapers. He is a very evil man, and yet, I can't understand how these Christian leaders could endorse him, and I mean, I did my part. I even got in a back and forth debate with Tom Menery from Focus on the Family, and I asked him, "How can you vote for Mitt Romney?" And we got in a back and forth, and there was a lot of people involved in it, and Judge Roy Moore was on that, and he sent me a personal letter thanking me for the job that I did in that debate.
Good.
Yep. Let me mention one other thing real quick here.
So Mitt Romney is a snake, man. I mean, he's probably the same snake that you know, approached Eve.
The snake that Trump talks about on his campaign.
I'm telling you, man. That is one.
Yeah.
And then he said this guy, Santos, he needs to be out of here because he's a liar.
Yeah, I agree.
But the other part, the thing not the people need to remember, and I remember a group of us fighting this years ago. We did not want the merging of all these radio stations. You had these the Clear Channels taking up iHeart and whatever, taking over all these small local channels.
Yep.
And it's like, no, you cannot allow one group to control the message. We have no free press. I mean, people have to understand there is no free. We don't have freedom of the press. Yeah. It's all the media is the virus. If we had a free media, if we had a true, open, honest, free media like we're supposed to have, we wouldn't be having a lot of these problems today either. But a few like that take over and control the message. Go ahead. We can kind of have a wrap up here because, again, Joe, I know you you're going to have a show to talk about what was going on too.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go first.
Well, Joe, you can go ahead.
All right. Well, everybody that's listening here, please, if you want to, tune into my podcast next. Got to discuss some stuff, that pertains not just to me, because it's not really about me, because it affects all of us, I mean, if not me, you or your friend or your mother, your father, your brother, sister, what have you, it doesn't matter. It affects every single person in this country. What happens when these things happen, like it happening to Trump or what's happening to me. And I'll go in more in depth and detail with it on my show. Anybody can ask questions if they want. And most people already know some of the story, but there's some new information. And also, if I can get Facebook working properly, I'm going to show documentation, proof of this stuff and a lot of other stuff, too. So, hopefully everything works out right. And you'll be surprised at some of the stuff I can show you. So we'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Yeah, and everybody tune in. And you might want to join us on the call tomorrow night with Defend Florida and tell them what's going on, too, because it's up to us. It's we the people who are going to change this stuff, and it's going to take a lot of work to do it, to overcome that kind of stuff that's going on.
And I know you're a fighter, too.
Yeah.
You're a fighter, too, so thank you for that.
Yes, most definitely. Thank you. Sarge, what are you thinking? What's your words of wisdom for the night?
Well, the words of wisdom is to continue to listen to words of wisdom like we've been hearing here tonight, and that we need to come together with coherent methods of changing the monopoly of the two-party, the duopoly of the two-party system. Although one caveat I would like to add, and that is that a two-party system does ensure, for better or for worse, a certain measure of stability that multi-faction governments usually don't have. And I mean, you can get a relatively small fraction that can win an election, and this can lead to its own sorts of problems, too. So I just want everybody to consider that, too. But I'd rather worry about that when we get there than not to make the attempt at all to break what we're seeing right now. As long as we, kind of look ahead to see what can come with confidence to look forward to what we might succeed at and then what might ensue in the wake of it.
Absolutely. And if the parties truly stood for something and they were independent, as in not part of the public mechanism, I have no problem with it. And if they were truly independent that way too, they would have to defend themselves of what they do or nobody would join them. But right now, it truly is a rigged system. It's a duopoly kind of thing, exactly, because they own that ballot box. It's totally wrong for them to own the ballot box. Okay, and let's see. John Doe, you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What are your words of wisdom as we're wrapping up tonight?
I just echo what Joe and Sarge and Nathan's been saying, because, we have to deal with it. You think about it. The cool thing about the two-party system in respects to what Sarge was just mentioned, it does consolidate power. So if we get enough people to come together, we can overwhelm it by using the system against the system. But at the same time, it's a tricky, tough thing. Anyway, I'm not the greatest communicator in the world. Everybody keep doing what you're doing and trying to help make this thing work for all of we the people, and hopefully we'll make it happen before it's too late. Our posterity is banking on us. Thanks. Back to you.
Maybe we can get Trump to put Sarge in charge of the Republican Party.
Well, we're going to definitely make sure Sarge gets nominated.
They wouldn't like the kind of Republican Party I turn him into. That's for damn sure.
If you're in charge of the Republican Party, I might join it. I might get back into it. As long as you get your party off the the ballot box. So you go have your own primary, and I'll be there. Sounds good. Nathan, go ahead. Your final words of wisdom.
I'm just going to move on and go to the other show and see what y'all saying there.
Okay. Yes, I would encourage everybody to tune
Joe's
in.
Story. I want to hear more of Joe's story because I do see something happening. I don't see it as much as other people do, but it's like you want to get this guy over here. You work with this guy over here to get him, and then you get him. You know, and that's manipulation of justice, or it's of injustice.
Coercion. It's a mob mentality. There's no independent thinking when you do it that way. It's all coercion. So exactly. So yeah, I'm gonna tune in and listen as well because I want to hear what Joe's saying, and we need to see how it applies across the board.
I'm not gonna go away mad. I'm just gonna go away.
Okay. Excuse me. And with that being said, we will wrap it up for tonight. Thank you, everyone. And remember, next week we're going to be talking about what the true meaning of Christmas is, what a Christian nation should look like, what the churches of a Christian nation would do, you know, some of those kind of things. We'll talk about some of that next week. And then Christmas, wishing everybody a very Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah to the Jewish community out there. And we're going to remember what being an American is all about and that type of thing. And then remember, January 8th, mark it down. We're going to have major – Nathan is going to OD on all the constitutional voting information he's going to get. We're going to go into it in so much detail that I think we'll be able to answer almost all the questions. The conversation I had with this person, this constitutionalist, which is very interesting, and we're going to talk about what it really means to vote, to be a voter and elector in America. And with that being said, good night, everyone. Please say a prayer for America, say a prayer for the world, and may God bless America. Good night, everyone.